Okay, we're going to finish off first, very briefly, the last week's shiur. We got the main yesod, but then we didn't really get it klahlocha. So again, we had the whole sugya last week about the inyan of oisa adam kunyona al hektish. And we went through the shakla v'tarya of what the basis of that shaila is. And the Gemara seemed to conclude that if you hold that a person would make a kunyana on hekdish, that would only be possible if it's not shaykh to be shoyel. But if it's yeh shayla behekdish, then we would never, according to anybody, Rabbi Elazar, the Chachomim, we would not be worried about a person making a kunyana. Kunyana would basically mean that he's going ahead to try to get back the nechosim from hekdish in a bogus way, when he can actually do it very simple. He could just be shayel on the hekdish. So we said the only reason why there would be any kind of a chashash that a person would do a kunyon ala hekdish by exubasishin, by chayv, would only be if that's the only way for him to get it back from hekdish. But nobody is accused of trying to schwindle hekdish if he has a very straight way of doing it by just being shayel on the hafrasha. That's what we had. So, the question we had was, halacha l'maisa, the way we paskin yeshel behekdish, which means a person could be shayel on his hafrasha. And at the same time, we paskin that, yashakech, at the same time, we paskin, yes, that a person could be shayel on the hekdish, and at the same time, we paskin that the moisa kunyon al hekdish. So this mamashas theory, the way we hold. In other words, we hold that you have to worry the person is making a shvindel, and that's why he has to be madar his wife. In order for her to collect the ksubir from Hegdish, he has to be madar her that he'll never take her back. And the Gemara says that the whole basis of that is only if you hold that ain't shayla behegdish. But if you hold yeh shayla behegdish, that won't apply. So we had that problem, and we also had a contradiction in Rebbe Lezer. So that we resolved last week. Contradiction in Rebbe Lezer we resolved. We basically came out that our Gemara intertwines Shaila Behegdish and Tos Behegdish, which are really two different Shailas and Shas. Shaila Behegdish means, after I was Makdish something to Hegdish, can I then go and reverse it? Just like I can in Neder. Can I go and reverse it? Then there's another Shaila in Shas about Hegdish Betoyas. Hegdish Betoyas is really an entirely different Shaila. That's a case where you makdish something mistakenly. According to Beis Shammai, even if it's verified that you made a mistake, the hekdish is binding. And according to Beis Hillel, we treat it like a mekach toyos. Just like if you sold something by mistake, so the sale is reversed. So the same halacha applies to hekdish. Somehow the Gemara by us brings them together. They shluchar is two different dinim. Two different dinim. So we explained that our Gemara brought them together for one reason. Because really, when you're shoyel, there are two ways to be shoyel. One way to knock off a neder is through a Pesach. And a Pesach is very similar to a Mekach Toras. Very similar to a Mekach Toras. Because a Pesach means, I was when I made the neder, I was unaware about certain issues, inherent issues. And if I would have known them, I wouldn't have made the neder. So it's very similar to what we would call a mekach toyas. And then there's what we call charata. Charata has no similarity to mekach toyas. Charata means I feel bad that I did it. By mekach that happens all the time. You sell something, you sell a piece of property, it goes up in value. You have charata, you sold it. Right? You bought a piece of property hoping that it will go up in value and it went lower. So you have charata. There's no havamin and choshen mishpat that you could reverse a transaction because you had charota. Charota doesn't do anything. Right? But by a neder, there is an opinion that holds poischem b'charota. And that's the way we hold. We hold you could be poischem b'charota. So now, it's very simple. When it comes to hegdish, because it's not just negeya to you, it's negeya to hegdish, it's a monetary issue. It's not just a neder where I said I'm not allowed to do something. It's a monetary issue. So now I have to bring in a choshen mishpat way of getting rid of the neder. I can't just go to a chacham b'shayel on the neder. Even if you hold poischin b'charata, it won't work by hekdesh. That was the point that we were trying to bring out. And that's why our Gemara brought the two concepts together. Because you can only be shayel by hekdesh if you're going to use a Pesach. If you're going to go ahead and use a charata, you won't be able to be shayel. Because that won't make it into a toss. The only way for you to reverse the transaction here is you have to wear a choshen mishpat hat. So the way you're removing the neder has to be a choshen mishpat-like heter, which means you have to show that it was a mistake. You have to show that there was an error. And now if you could substantiate that there was an error, now you could reverse it. And that's why our Gemara, first of all, that's the answer to the mystery of why a Gemara brings these two elements together. Tos behekdesh and shela behekdesh. It's really one idea because you can't use charata. That was the concept. So we said very simple. That would explain why the sugin psachim wasn't difficult because they were dealing with chala. By chala, it's still called your money. Just as kedusha, but it's your money. It's not like it's you could give it to your grandson who's a kohen, like the Ramami Pano said. And therefore, over there, you could still use the regular channels of shela. And therefore, there's no contradiction in Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer in Asugya says, there's no Shela. And in Meseches Pesachim, he holds that there is Shela by Chala. And the answer is simple. Chala, since it's not monetarily in another Rishus, so therefore you could still use the Neder-like Heter. So I could use regular Shela. And therefore, even though Rebbe Meir holds that there's no such thing as Hektish Petos, but so what? I don't have to use that channel. I just go straight to be Mater Neder. That's why it works. So Rebbe Lezer was resolved. Rebbe Lezer in our sugya, he's talking about where you were Makdish something. Right? So there, it's not mine. So now it has monetary ramifications. Now I got to use Toros channel. I got to use a Toros to remove the Neder. And I can't because he holds Hektish Petos. It's Hektish. So you're stuck. So we explain, that's the Ramami Pano, because you could take the challah and give it to your grandson. Right? So your maternal grandfather will be able to give you challah. Right? Because you're a kohen. So that's called that there's not a monetary emphasis. Now he just treats it like a neder. In a neder, I could use charata. I'm not limited. So that explains it. But we still have this problem in our sugya. How are we consistent? So now Rebbe Lezer, we got consistency with. We still didn't understand how do we have consistency. Because we hold that yesh shayla behektish. So we hold you could be shayla, even hektish you could be shayla. Because we hold like Basilo, that hektish betos is not hektish. So we hold you could remove even a regular hektish. Regular, normal hektish you could remove. So the Gemara seems to say, based on that, there's no chashash that a person would make a kunyana. And yet we paskin that we are worried about the kunyana. So we still remain inconsistent. That was the problem that we had. So I wanted to use this machshava to continue to explain how it works for us lahalocha as well. Clearly there's a gap between our sugya and the way we paskin. I'm just trying to explain how we fill that gap. There has to be an explanation how we fill that gap. So I would still use the same machshava, which is that our sugya is going that you have to come on to a toss. Unquestionably, you have to come on to a toss. And therefore, if you hold that there's no toss by hektish, you can't be shayel. You're stuck. But if you hold yesh toss by hektish, then you could be shayel. But there's one other level that has to be clarified, and that is we have here a shach. If I brought it in or not. I didn't bring the shach in. Can you hear me, son? Yeah. The shach says as follows. The shach brings down a concept that we have elsewhere in Shas where you cannot be shoyel on truma. And the Gemara says, what's the case where you can't be shoyel on truma? Normally you could be shoyel on truma. When can you not? So the Gemara says, if you already gave it to the Kohen, if you gave the Truma to the Kohen, then you cannot be Sheol on it anymore. That's what the Gemara says here. What does that mean? I was Mafresh Truma. So long that I gave it to the Kohen, I didn't give it yet to the Kohen, I can now go to a Chacham and be Sheol on that Chosha. And now it's not Truma anymore. Because Truma is like a Neder. And the monetary ramifications, like the Ramami Panu was saying, are non-binding until you actually gave it to the Kohen. Otherwise, you could give it to your grandson who's a Kohen. You have the Teves Hanoh. So you can still be Shoyal regular, traditional Heter Nedorin. Right? But once you gave it to the Kohen, the Gemara says you can't be Shoyal anymore. It's over. Truma Shaboli Had Kohen, Ein Yisholen Allah. It's too late. Now, that's really a difficult Gemara. Or because logic would dictate that that would hold true according to Rebbe Lezer, who holds Hekdesh Petos is not Hekdesh. And therefore, the only way you could be Shoyal on it is when it's only a Neder. So long that you didn't give it to the Kohen, it's only a Neder, like the Ramami Panu. Once you gave it to the Kohen, now it's shifted from being a Neder to being monetary. Now I have to use my other hat, which is to make it into a Tos, and Rebbe Lezer holds there's no toss by Hekdesh. So according to Rebbe Lezer, it's very, very clear, the line, before you gave it to the Kohen and after you gave it to the Kohen. Before you gave it to the Kohen, it's non-monetary, and therefore it's reversible. After you gave it to the Kohen, the only way for you to reverse it would be using the channel of toes, and he holds Hekdesh Petos, it's Hekdesh. So you don't have that. That channel's not available. But according to the way we hold a yesh sheila behektish, which means that we hold that you could reverse it, because there you create a toss. Now, if you create a toss, the hektish gets reversed. So why should it make a difference if the kohen got it or he didn't get it yet? That's a problem. That's an issue. But the shach wants to introduce that issue, which is problematic, to us also by hektish. He wants to say that perhaps there's a difference in halacha between you gave it already to the Beis HaMikdash, and you didn't give it to the Beis HaMikdash. It is true that if somebody did nothing more than Makdash's property, then we have no issue, because he could be Shoyal on it. Okay? But once Hekdash took possession of the property, now you can't be Shoyal on it anymore. So the Shach says here in Simen Reish Nun Hei, Sivov, he says, the heichon shebo liyad gizbo ain sheila behekdish. V'lochein chayshinun likunyon. So the Shach tells us, gives us an approach. The Shach's approach is that we say that since you already gave it to Hekdish, so now you can't be shoyal on it anymore. Now you don't have the ability to reverse it anymore. And since you don't have the ability to reverse it, that's why we're worried about kunyon. So though our Gemara seems to say that we're not worried about that, because otherwise our Gemara should say that. Our Gemara says, if yesh shaila behekdesh, we're not worried about kunyona. The Shach is adding one added piece, and he's saying that if you already gave it to Hekdesh, then we are worried about kunyona. Then we're worried about the person making an error. I'm okay. Then we are worried about kunyona. That's what the Shach is saying. So, the question is, A, why is our Gemara worried about it? The difference between you gave it to Hekdesh, you didn't give it to Hekdesh. And the Chassam Sofer here has a very interesting question on the Shach. He actually doesn't quote the Shach. He says that he's seen this teretz. Umi sha'omar tam, he says, there are some who say a svara, that once you gave it over to Hekdesh, it's too late for you to reverse it. He says, I don't agree with that. And he says, what's his reason why he doesn't agree? He says, listen to this lashon. He doesn't quote a shach. He says, divrei hevel. To tell me that there's a difference between when you were makdish something bepeh and you actually gave it to Hekdesh, he says, is completely unacceptable. He says, why? He says, because the only logic to that would be loyosi dibur mevatel dibur. Loyosi dibur mevatel maisa. In other words, until I went and I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, it's just a dibur. I just said I'm giving it to Hekdash. Once I gave it to Hekdash, then I can't anymore reverse it. He says, divrei hevelhem, he says. Shaharei, he says, nidrei Hekdash, when you shoyel on it, heim nekorim lemafreya, vehekdash betorosu. He says, there's no maisa. He says, first of all, amir l'gavoya es kemesir l'hegit. So when you say you're going to give something to Hekdash, it already goes into the domain. And the only difference is because you already gave it, but the giving is only a completion to what already happened through your nether. And once you reverse the nether, there's no act either. Because you didn't give Hekdash something that belongs to them. It's yours. It's not like I went to Hekdash and I was maknet to Hekdash something which was mine. I gave them something which was theirs. Because once I made the nether, it became Hekdash's. When I went and I gave it to Hekdash, all I did was deliver it. I wasn't makna to Hekdash, I delivered it. And now by being shoyel on the nether, retroactively, it wasn't Hekdash. So if it wasn't Hekdash, there was no act. That's the Chasam Sofer's question. He says, therefore, it's divrei hevel. It's completely unacceptable. That's his taina. The Chasam Sofer's taina is that when you say that this should be Hekdash, it belongs to Hekdash. Right? Once you make an amira, it belongs to Hekdash. When you go ahead and you give it to Hekdash, you're not really giving it. It's theirs already. You're delivering it. And now if you shoyel on the nether, retroactively, there's no maisa either. What did you do? You didn't do anything. All you did was you delivered it. It's not like you gave it to Hekdash, you made a kinyan with Hekdash. The kinyan was the dibur. All you have to do is uproot the dibur. And then you're okay. That's the time of the Chasam Sofer.
Maybe the act of giving it over works independently when it's needed.
Yeah, but let's analyze it. David, let's analyze it. What's the person's das when he gives that? Is his das to be maknet, or his das is to give Hekdash something that belongs to them? For sure. Let's say, according to the way we hold Hekdash, Petor is not Hekdash. Mistakenly, when he sent the delivery truck to Hekdash to deliver, there was another piece of furniture there that he was never makdish. Would he be able to take it back? Of course. So Chasam Sofer's taina is, so that's really what happened here. I sent a truckload to Hekdash, but turned out not to be Hekdash's bechlal, because I was shale on it. So the whole thing is an error. I don't have to reverse the delivery. I have to reverse the content of the delivery. And all by me shoyel on the nether, I'm reversing the content of the delivery. Amir is a nether, and that we hold yesh shayla behekdash. So it should be the end of the story. The fact is that I believe that the Chasam Sofer's question on the shita, which is I'm calling the shach shita, I think that his question is really the way our sugya goes. That's why our sugya holds that there is no difference between before you gave it to Hekdash and after you gave it to Hekdash. And that's why Al Gemara says that if you could be Shoyel, the whole thing makes no sense. As long as a person could reverse it, we would never accuse that somebody would go now and do shtick with Hekdash, because it's always reversible. All you got to do is reverse the nether, and once you reverse the nether, you're in business. So what I want to tell you is like this. I want to say that perhaps our sugya would taka hold by truma also. Sheboliat koin, you could be shayl on it. There is a sugya in the Torah that says once the truma comes to the koin, you can't be shayl. But our sugya would also agree completely with the Chasam Sofer. That the logic is that when you makdish something, so long that you could reverse that nether, it doesn't matter how far advanced the delivery process is at, you just go back to the nether and you reverse the nether and then you're in business. And that's the way our sugya holds. However, there is a sugya in the Dorim, which says clearly that once the truma comes to the kohen, you can't reverse it. We have to know why not. What's the logic behind it? But there is such a sugya. So I want to tell you a svara based on a tshuva sarashba, which really would make sense out of this whole parasha. It's also found in the tshuva Neida Behudi that I asked you guys to look up 2 weeks ago. The Tshuva Sarashba comes up with a fascinating concept. He says What's the reason why when a person is shoyal on a neder, we believe him? He comes and he says, you know, I only made the neder thinking kach v'kach. Okay, let's take a mekach toyas. Okay, every mekach toyas is reversible. That means you could take any kinyan, no matter how far advanced it went, dibur, maisa, delivery, no matter how advanced it went, but as long as you tell us and prove to us that there was a mistake, that I thought I was buying a shawl and it turns out to be a chamor, so now it gets reversed, right? No matter where it's holding. But still, you have to prove to us that you wanted to buy a shawl. So in other words, if I sell you a chamor, and you give me the money, and I give you the chamor, and you come the next day to Bezna and you say, Rabbeisai, this is not what I had in mind. I had in mind to actually buy a shoch. It turns out to be a chamor. And the seller says, I don't know what you're talking about. The deal was a chamor. I told you I'm selling you a donkey, and you bought a donkey. And I took money for a donkey. There's no din mekach toyas over there. Because the onus of proof after something already occurs is on the moitzi. The one who's moitzi mechavero, he has to prove it. Okay? Otherwise, he can't prove it. So now, see, even though we say that a mekach toyas is always reversible, there's still a built-in condition that the onus of proof, so the classic mekach toyas is we know either there's an admission by the seller, or there are witnesses. There's a way of us knowing that actually this was supposed to be an ox, and it turned out to be a donkey. But so long that that is not proven, avada and avada, the guy who bought it, the guy who bought the donkey is stuck with the donkey. He took a donkey, the donkey's in his possession. The money is in the seller's possession. You can't change that. If I sell you a car and then you say, well, you really thought you were buying a plane, a small plane, and it turns out to be a car, and I'm holding on to the money and you're holding on to the car. So it's over. You have to prove that that was the case. And that's an issue that nobody is talking about here. If you think about it, analyze it, scrutinize, when you come to be shayl on an eder, that's a major component that's missing. You come to a chacham, you say, Chacham, I want you to be shoyal on my neder. I want you to take off my neder. The Chacham says, yeah, why? You say, well, if I would have known that kach v'kach, then I wouldn't have made the neder. Okay? Who says? A guy says, makes a neder. I'm from now on, I'm not eating meat. And that's it. Mikan labo, I'm not eating meat. Then he comes to a Chacham a week later, he says, I want to be shoyal on the neder. Chacham says, why? So he says, I have a Pesach. It's a neder petoyos. What's my Pesach? When I made the neder, I wasn't going to eat meat. It was based on a study that they made in Echveisvas, in Harvard. And the study came out that meat is bad for the arteries. And now I just read up in a French newspaper that the Frenchmen, they don't get heart attacks b'chlal. 90% of the population, they don't get heart attacks. And they eat more meat. Rather, they have some wine, and the wine is mahapach l'toiva. So I wouldn't have never made another. That's a classic atoras nedarim. That works. But why do we believe you? What's that? Oh! Because there's a rule in Shas, Odom ne'mon al atzmo yoyser mimei yoyish. So long that what you're saying is negeya to you, you're ne'mon more than 100 people. So every neder, when you come to be shoyal on your neder, you have the authority to tell us, Odom ne'mon al atzmo yoyser mimei yoyish. And therefore you believed. Now, here's the nekuda. I think what the Gemara is telling us is that even though Beis Shammai say Hekdish B'Toras is Hekdish, and they still say Hekdish B'Toras is not Hekdish, the case of their argument is where it's, we know that there was a mistake. That means Reuven said, and he said, the first ox that comes out of my barn, which I know is going to be white, is Hekdish. And then it turns out a black one walks out. So we know we made a mistake. Beis Shammai say, too bad, you were makdish the first ox that went out, even though you let us know that you think it's going to be white, turned out to be black, or the reverse, doesn't matter. We know you made a mistake. We know that you thought the white one was going to come out. We don't care. They still say, we absolutely do care. Okay? But, when you shayel on the nether, now you're already coming to tell us something which wasn't inherent in the nether. You're telling us, I had an intent, this and this intent, and I turned out to be wrong, and now I want you to be shayel on the nether. So really, now we have to believe you, we have to accept your Pesach. So the whole idea is, well, there's nobody really here to contradict you. There's nobody here to say, well, it's not true. So long that you're not fighting anybody, we accept whatever you say as truth. Comes the Gemara in the Dorm and says, Truma biyad koyin. Once the truma is in the hand of the koyin has a right, as the one who now is holding the truma, to say, I don't believe you. Your Pesach doesn't hold water. And the Noida Biyudin is tshuva says this beferish. He says that when it's truma biyad koyin, the koyin has a right to say, I don't believe you. Now, even though when you make a truma, technically it's momen koyin, momen hashevet, whatever it is, it's, but so long that there's no identified person that's safeguarding it, you still are considered the one that can, you're still the apotropos. When you make something into truma, you're still the apotropos, you're still authorized to say, to protect that truma, or to remove it. And therefore you come to a chacham, you're wearing two hats. You're wearing the one, the hat that you made it into truma, and you're wearing the hat of the person who's holding the truma. So long that you're wearing both hats, even though it will have ramifications to the kohanim, if you remove the truma, you could still believe yourself. You could still say, I'm the one who made it into truma, I'm the one who's holding it. I could take it now and throw it out the window too. Right? It's in my domain. It's true. Technically, by me removing the truma, now no kohen will ever get it. And if I don't remove the truma, the kohen will get it. It's true. But right now, I'm the one who's safeguarding the truma. And right now, I can destroy the truma, be'etzem. It's in my domain. So long that it's in my domain, I have a right to wear two hats at the same time. I'm coming in as the one who's made the nether, and I'm coming in as the one who's saying that this is why the nether was made. And I can be that one person. But once the truma is given to the kohen, now the kohen says, one second, you say you wouldn't have made the nether? Bogus. I don't buy that. I don't buy it. So it's almost like a monetary thing, the way the Noi Debut is tying it in, it's a monetary thing that's stopping you from being able to make a she'el on your nether. You have a monetary blockage. Because in order to you get to the she'elah process, you have to substantiate the mistake, and you can only substantiate the mistake if you're the only one who right now is in the position of deciding that idea. But so long that there's a coin. So I want to tell you that the same thing applies to Hekdesh, according to the Rambam. Just like by Truma. Once the Hekdesh is out of your domain, and it's in Rishus Hekdesh, now the Gizbar, when you're holding on to Hekdesh, you're the Gizbar. Just like you're the Gizbar on the Truma that you're holding on to. So long that you're holding on to the Hekdesh, you're the one who's holding on to it. You could be shayel on it. Yeh shayel behegdesh. But once the Hekdesh is given to the Beis HaMikdash, now even if you hold Hekdesh betos as a Hekdesh, it won't help you. Because you can't get past the front door. Because you're coming to the, now you gotta sell your toes to the Gizbar. And he doesn't buy it. He doesn't buy your stories. And once the Gizbar doesn't buy your stories, you're stuck. Just like by Truma, you're stuck. And that's why the Rambam held that we have to worry now, or the Moise Kunyon ala Hekdesh. Now the Shach makes sense. The Chassam Sofer is right. If you can get to the step where you could reverse the nether, it's not because Loyosi Dibu Mavatal Maisa. Chassam Sofer is right. If you can get to the step where you could reverse the nether, you'd be in business. But you can't. Because in order for you to get to that step, you need that somebody out there should buy your toss. And the only one who buys your toss is yourself. Yichab. By every heter nedarim, the only one who has to buy into your mistake is you. And you always buy into your mistake. That's the klal gadol benushi. We always buy our mistakes. So there's no problem. But once it goes to Rishus Gizbo, so now everything is klar. It's not mamish mesira. Kim mesira only means that the kinyan occurs. The kinyan occurs, but it's still in my domain. Just like truma. When I make it into truma, it's truma. It is truma. But the fact is that until the kohen takes possession of it, exactly. So in order for me to be able to, so that's for sure, the one who holds yei sheila be'ekdish, the only way it can operate is that somebody is buying my mistake. So that's very good now, the shach. Once I go and I give it to Hekdish, I can't sell my mistake anymore. So now I'm stuck with my nether. Now my nether just got solidified and it's glued. Can't move. And that's why now we're worried that you're playing shtick with Hekdish. That would be the Pasha the Pshat. Okay. Misadlin Labal Choyv. So here, the Mishnah brings down, this is a lighter sugyu.
Even though there's a din of chayvei arochin memashkin in oisom, still in all, noisnim loy mazon shloishim yoyim uksu shnei masochedesh. We still leave with him clothing and food. Food for 30 days and clothing for a year. Mita mutzas, he's allowed to have the bed with it, with the bedding. V'sandolov, v'shuz, utfilov. And his tefillin. And this is all loy. This is all the things that he needs for himself. Avaloy le'ishto yilabonav. But to his wife and sons, we don't leave anything. Okay, v'imhoya uman, and if he's a craftsman, noisn loishnei klei umnes. We leave him the basic tools that he needs to run his business. Mikol min umin. From every min and min. Cheresh, if he's a carpenter, noisn loishnei matzadav loishnei megiles. So we leave him with the saw, and we leave him with the plane that they to make the smooth cutting. Rebbe Lezer says if he's an ikar, moya ikar, if he's a farmer, we leave him with the tzimdai, nois and loy tzimdai. Right, we leave him with his oxen. Chama nois and loy chamorov. Right, so the donkey driver, we leave him with his donkeys. Oy loy minechon merubo minechon muet. If a guy has more than two tools of one assortment and then of another tool, he doesn't have enough, we don't say, well, he could cash in and say, listen, give me three and I'll cash one in and get enough for the other. And that's it. In other words, you can never ask the Baal Choyv to replenish. You can't ask the guy who you owe money to replenish what you don't have. You're allowed to have up to two tools, but that's only if you have them already. But you don't have the right to say, well, I want to replenish. I only have one of, so now let me sell the third tool and get the one that I'm missing. Now, makdish nechosov, malin loy tefilov. If you makdish your property, so basically the Mishnah is saying there's a distinction. Hekdish and Hegyet, there's a distinction. By Hekdish, we say that a person is being makdish everything, and therefore even the tefillin is included. And by a Hegyet, when you owe money, then we say that the tefillin is not included. And our Mishnah talks the difference between Arachin and regular Hakdosha. By Arachin, we make the same assessment that we would by a Hegyet. So we let you have your tefillin. But if somebody's makdish his tefillin, then makdish all his property, we say the tefillin is included, and therefore he doesn't get to keep his tefillin. He has to redeem his tefillin. Malin lo tefillin means we assess it, and in order for you to keep it, you have to redeem it back. That's the mission. So we really have to know the basis of this mission.
What kind of din is this? Is this a din de rabbana? Is this a din de reise? The fact that we let the in bankruptcy law, there's also similar type of concepts where you let the person have certain essentials, right? Certain essentials he's allowed to keep, even a home up to a certain value they let the person have. There's certain allowances. So you have to know what the lumdus of these allowances are. But the Mishnah says that they're allowances. So the Gemara seems to work on this. My time it. What's the reason why we allow these allowances in the Mishnah? And the Gemara says, because it says in Mochu Me'erkecha, Hachayeyu Me'erkecha. We learn out from the Pasuk, when it says in Mochu, so we learn out Hachayehu, keep him alive. Meaning when he gives an Erech, you have to keep him alive. Clearly the Gemara is clear, by Erechin, the Gemara seems to be clearly saying this is a din d'oraisa. There's a din d'oraisa within the framework of the parish of Erechin that was supposed to keep him alive. And these things are categorized as things that keep him alive. So there it's a din d'oraisa. By a bal choyv, it's a different story. Because there isn't a pasuk by a bal choyv. Where I owe money not to hektish. Where I owe money to an individual. So there we don't find that there's a pasuk. And Take, the Rambam, when he brings down this din, he says as follows. It says by the parasha of when you take a mashkin from somebody, it says lo yachbol rechayim vorechev ki nefesh uchayvel. Right? You're not allowed to take the person's livelihood as a mashkin. You can't take his mill. That's what he uses to make a parnosa. Ki nefesh uchayvel. Right? So based on this, the Rambam says misadrim lebal choyv she'enoi bedin sheyikach bal choyv akol v'zeh yitztarech labriyas. This Rav Haigoyen also says this in Mishpatei Hashvuos. El adin liten loy miktsas nechosav lishtamish b'hem. It sounds like there's some kind of a svora from within the framework of choiv that we learn out of choiv that you don't take away the person's livelihood. Collecting alone doesn't mean collecting him. You can only collect from his nechosim, but you can't collect from his livelihood, and that's called taking his livelihood. So based on that, based on Rav Haigoyen and the Rambam, so this din would also be deraisa by Bal Choyv. So if that's the case, we have to understand, why do we need another parasha by Hektish? In other words, are these two parashas separate parashas? If there's an inherent logic that every shibut doesn't go beyond the person, whatever he needs for his livelihood, so then that should follow through by Arachin too. Because when you're collecting Ba'arachin, you're also collecting B'teras Shibud. And if there is a logic that you should, then why does the Rambam and Rav Haigoyen extend the Din of Mesadrin, like it's a Svar, it's a Pasuk, to Bal Choyv, when there's no Pasuk? There are, by the way, some Rishenim who paskin, ain't Mesadrin LeBal Choyv. Which means, they hold that only by Hektish we're Mesadrin. See, that I can understand. If we're going to learn that only by Hektish do we give allowances, I understand that. That would mean logically no allowances are given. Because let's look at it logically. Logically, you owe me money. Whatever you have is meshubit to me. Like we write in the Shtar, afilu miglima dal kaspoi, even from my clothing on my body. Logically, everything is meshubit to the Bal Choyv. That I'm okay with. And now we have a special pasuk in Erechin, which says im mochu. Just like there's a din in Erechin we had that if a person's very poor, he can get away with a shekel. Hesig Yad, that's clearly not a choyv halacha. In there is a bankruptcy parsha in Erechin. There isn't a bankruptcy parsha in Bal Choyv. If you owe $1 million, according to Choshen Mishpat, there's no way of ever getting out of that. Ever. Until you pay it. Or he's meichel you. There's no way. Bankruptcy doesn't exist. In fact, years ago, they said over from Rabbi Yankov Zatzal, Yankov held if a person went bankrupt, they still have a choyv to pay back all the money they owe. Sometimes, somehow, if they can, it's still an obligation. Now, I never had an opportunity to talk to Rabbi Yankov about this, but in any kind of arichas. But I always felt that in Svara today, that would not be applicable. I felt that the way it was explained to Reb Yankiv, is that there's a Baal Choyv, there's a guy you owe money to, and then there's a Malchus, there's the king, government, right, which in Halacha we call Malchus. And the Malchus is intervening. This is, I am assuming, the way it was explained. The Malchus is coming in now and saying, you know what, you don't have to pay back your debt. David, you owe $100,000. Based on the situation, the government is cleaning it. They're saying you don't have to pay it. It would make sense to me that Rabbi Yankiv then said, you know what, if that's the case, so that's a Dina de Malchus which contradicts Din Torah. And the rule is that Dina de Malchus can't contradict Din Torah. So if I owe David $100,000 and the Malchus comes for whatever reason and says that since I'm in Klei Kodesh, there's a rabbinical exclusion, I don't owe you the money, that won't help. La'alocha. And that's the rule. The Dina de Malchus can't override la'alocha. It makes sense, that's what Rabbi Yankiv would have said. However, bankruptcy law is really much more simple than that. The way I see it. It's much more simple. Bankruptcy, and I'm talking about on commercial loans. I'm not talking about when you have private loans. Then it's 100%. If I borrowed money privately from Chaim Yaakov, and then the government comes in and says, all judgments against me are potter. That's a private thing between me and Yaakov. But when I borrow money commercially from a bank, from a lending institution, and they charge me interest, right? The way all commercial loans work. Nobody's giving you money b'chinim. So now, it's a business deal. Okay? And when the bank decides what interest I pay, it's based on my credit rating. And really what they're doing is they're entering a gamble. It's a business. A bank is a business. And again, as we've seen over the last couple of years, sometimes they gamble wrong. And they can lose their shirts if they don't do it right. But that's not our problem. That's their problem. They're investing in us. So now it's really an iska. It's an iska. The bank is coming als iska. They're in business. Now, within the laws of the lending, right, in commercial loans, there's a bankruptcy law. That's part of the risk factor that the bank is taking when they lend you money. So when you go and file bankruptcy, that would be no different than if, let's say, I borrow $100,000 from you, and I explicitly say, I owe you the money so long that I'm continuing to earn $200,000 a year. But if my income goes below $200,000 a year, I don't owe you the money back. Would anybody say it's Geneva? Of course it's not Geneva. It's built, it's not shtick either. Okay, so then you're Ganev. That's something else. I'm talking about a legal bankruptcy. I'm not talking about shtick. I'm talking about a legal bankruptcy. So what I'm saying is a legal bankruptcy is a deal. But without a deal, according to Halacha, there's no such thing. By Erechin, there is. So by Erechin, we have a pasuk which the Gemara says, Mochu me'erkecha, hachayeyu. Right? But we don't have that by a Baal Chayv. That's why some Rishonim hold, it doesn't apply to Baal Chayv. And they hold, actually, there is no Din Mesadrin. You could take everything from him. Again, it's up to you. You could be a nice guy. But there's no legal limitation of what you could take. You could take everything. We paskin in Choshen Mishpat and Simon Sadi Zion. There's a din of Masadrin. This mission applies to Baal Chayv too. You can take from, you can only take based on the limitations here. But what I'm asking you is, so if that would be a din de Rabbonin, I understand. There's a deraisa to get din by Erechin. And then the Rabbonin came and made a replica of the din of Moch by Choshen Mishpat. But the Rav Haigoyen, and the Rambam is mashma that this is logical. This is based on the svara that we have. You're not allowed to take by any shibud. You can't take the guy's livelihood. So then why do we need a separate din by Erechin? What, this should be one din. It's a din that's based on svara or it's a general guideline by shibudim. So I wanted to point out, I brought down here Rav Eliashiv, who has a shiloh when the Mishnah says that by Erechin we leave the guy with his tefillin. The Mishnah is unclear whether we leave him with other things. This Reb David Soloveitchik that we brought down here has a shaila about the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah is included. But if you look at Rav Eliashiv, this little piece here in the Oris, Avul Shar Mitzvahs, kegoin sheifol rosh hashana v'dalad minim l'sukois, ein mesadrin loy. And then he says, Revel Yashav says, the madam is sadrin tefillin. Interesting, Revel Yashav. He says, it's not because we want to give him a mitzvah. Einoi machmas mitzvah. Elo dahavi ki begodim ukalei tashmishe. It's like his clothing. The tefillin is like his clothing. It's something he wears. And therefore, it doesn't really have to do with the fact that it's a mitzvah. So according to Revel Yashav, it's Erev Sukkos, and the Baal Chayv is coming to collect, he could take his lulav. He could take his dalad minim. If it's Erev Pesach, he could take his matzahs. There's no din, he has to leave him with food anyway, but he could take the matzah that he needs for the siddurim. He could leave him with non-shmur matzah. But the matzah, the $20 a pound matzah, he could take. Because the only reason why you leave him here, the tefillin, because that's like part of his clothing. That's how Revel Yashav is learning. What? No. No. The opposite. Tefillin is included in his property. Rashi is saying the lefaker. If somebody's makdish the chasov, the halacha is the tefillin is included. We're talking about the other way. We're talking about the din of mesadrin. By Erechin, we let you keep certain things, so we let you keep your tefillin. Rashi there is explaining why we take your tefillin. No. Again, we know that Rashi is explaining why is a Baal Chayv allowed to take your tefillin? Because it's property. We don't look at it like something which is holy. It's your property. So we take it from you. You could use it to be Makadosh a woman. You can Makadosh a woman with a pirate film. That's Rashi. That's all Rashi's saying. We're now having a separate discussion. We're discussing, by Erechin, we leave you with your tefillin. Why do we leave you with your tefillin? Is it because tefillin is a mitzvah? We don't want to take away a mitzvah from you. If that's the case, we won't take your lulav, and we won't take your shayfer, and we won't take your matzah, we won't take your tzitzis. Or is it because tefillin is like your clothing? So Revel Yashav is saying that the reason why we let you keep your tefillin, it's definitely part of your nechassim. We let you keep your tefillin not because it's a mitzvah, but because it's like your clothing. Now this is actually a discussion in the Mukhe Yosef. I was bewildered that Revel Yashav doesn't quote in the Mukhe Yosef. The Mukhe Yosef in Bava Metzia, Daf Samachtes, in the Daf Yarif over there, he brings down a shaila, the Mukhe Yosef, whether this is only by tefillin. And the Mukhe Yosef says that's the shaila, he says. Is the reason why we leave him with the tefillin is because it's a mitzvah? Or is it because it's part of his... because it's like his clothing? He brings down here that this that we leave the person with the tefillin... Ikamanda omadu adin sforov. If a guy has a library, he's a Talmud Chacham and he learns. So he says, Ikadamli, some say you leave him with his svarim. There's just as much of a mitzvah to learn like there is to wear tefillin. He says, Kishem kiderech shenoistim loy tefillin, kach noistim loy svarim. Then the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef says, V'yesh chaylik bedova. V'oimrim the davke tefillin, shehu miyuchad legufoy, v'derech malbushu. And it's like you're wearing it. And therefore, kederech shenoistim loy ksusoy, kach noistim loy tefillin. I cannot believe that Revel Yashav said this blank. This, you have to realize, this sefer is written by the Talmidim that come to the Shiurim. He must have said that I hold this way, not that this is an end-all statement, because the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef brings down a machlekes. Now, what's the logic behind this machlekes? It goes back to this thing of Hachayehu. Because Hachayehu was only telling you physically keep him alive. Hachayehu is not saying after now, the person who lent you money has to worry about your mitzvahs. He has to keep you physically alive. It's for Chaybahem. That's all. He doesn't have to go now keep you alive, keep all your spiritual... He doesn't now become your benefactor. He's not your shver. Right? You send him your koilel bill too. He's your Baal Chayv. You're his Baal Chayv actually. So I would say like this. Based on this thinking, I think we could say a very simple svara. Really, in the Mishnah, there's another plea. The Mishnah here says, Mamashkinin, Oisai, So Rashi says, Gizbar nichnas lebotayim v'noitel bal kochan. Rashi says, the Gizbar comes into your home and he takes the property bal kochan. He forces you. The Gizbar has a right to come into your domain and take it. Now we know one of the basic rules in Chosh Mishpat is that a Gizbar normally, a person who you owe money to, has no right to go into your home. Bachutz tamoid. It's a beferish apostolic. You can only stand outside. You can't go in. And that's a issa d'raisa. To go into somebody's home to take any of his possessions is an issa d'raisa. How is it that the Gizbar is exempt from doing this? Rashi is very clear. Rashi says that our Mishnah is telling you. What was the need for Rashi to say this here? What was Rashi's point of saying this here? So, Rabbi Menachem Zemba, in his Sefer Zera Avrom, he says a tremendous chiddush, Rabbi Menachem Zemba. He says, you see from Rashi, that the Gizbar is not called the Baal Choyv. He's called the messenger of the Baal Choyv. And therefore, the lav in the Torah of you approaching the Baal Choyv is not applicable. Baal Choyv, you're not allowed to go into the Baal Choyv, you're not allowed to go into the person who you lent money to. But here, the Gizbar is like a middleman. So therefore, it's not applicable. That's what he wants to say. But it's really a tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. To say like Rabbi Menachem Zemba. And again, it's difficult. Why did Rashi say it in this Mishnah? What was the point, Rashi getting himself into this storm of saying the Gizbar goes into your house? It's not even a geyah to the Mishnah. It's not. It wouldn't work. So that's the problem. So, logically, I would say that there's a different pshat here. There's a Tosfos Yom Tov in Maseches Shkolim, in the first parak. Over there, there's also a din of Mamashkinin on the Shkolim. If a person doesn't give the Shkolim, they could come after you. Over there, there's also, we don't find a limitation, they can't go into your home. So the Tosfos Yom Tov says, you know what, this rule doesn't apply to Hekdesh. Doesn't apply to Hekdesh. That's what he says. Doesn't apply to Hekdesh. Just to know, what does it mean it doesn't apply to Hekdesh? Why doesn't it apply to Hekdesh? What's the logic why it doesn't apply to Hekdesh? So I want to tell you a simple svara. There's a very big difference between a payment that you owe to a Baal Choyv and a payment that you owe to Hekdesh. A payment that you owe to a Baal Choyv is Bein Odom L'Chaveiro. I owe you money. And really, within that framework of me owing you money, there's really a tremendous limitation. And this is what I want to explain to you. It's you have to analyze it. It's not 100%, but it's definitely a svara. In the framework of me owing you money, what would be klapi shmaya? Clearly we see from our Mishnah that I as the Baal Choyv, I as the one who you owe money to, have a right to go and strip you from everything except for possibly this list. It's machloikis. Maybe it only applies to Erechin. We hold, we bring this list into Choshen Mishpatu. But outside of this list, very basic list, I don't even give you your clothing for your family. I leave you what you need to eat for 30 days, mamish basics, and everything else I can take. Now I want to ask you a shaila. Do you, as the person who owes the money, have a chiyuv to do that? Let's say I can disappear from town. I know it's coming. I know in an hour, the guy's coming with a truck. And he's going to take everything I own except for my bed and my bedspread. And my pillow and a saw and a hammer. That life doesn't look, for me, a livable life. In fact, they asked Akasha, L'chari, your wife will have a right to force you to divorce her. The Achronim ask, the Divrei Yosef asks, says you have to keep him alive, right? What, you're allowed to steal his wife? Look, the halacha is that a guy who doesn't support his wife, this is important, they should publicize it today, but it's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. A guy that doesn't support his wife, we force him to divorce his wife. Right? Can't just say, I'm not supporting. Can't do that. That's not an option. That's not a halachic option. It's not because you're not a nice guy. We force you to divorce him. Just like somebody who doesn't meet up with other responsibilities that a husband has. You get forced and you have to divorce your wife. Right? So, they ask Akasha, if you're not going to leave the guy clothing for his wife, and you're not going to leave him food for his wife, and you're not going to leave him money for his wife, so in a sense, you're telling him, divorce your wife. How could you do that? That's like taking away his livelihood. So the only way to get around that kasha is that we're projecting the future. The future is, we're taking this from you now, work, support your wife. We're not stopping you from supporting your wife, keep on supporting your wife. Right now, we're taking, there's no din for us to leave you now money for your wife, earn money for your wife. That's the pshat. But I'm asking you the other way around. Does the guy, the one who owes money, who owes you money, does he have a right to say, listen, I can't live like that? So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pack myself into a truck, pack everything I have, and I'm going south, north, whatever, Yomov, Akeid, Motzav, I'm not staying here. And I'll live over there when I can give him, when I can pay him money in a normal way, I'll pay him back. So this is, we don't find clearly la halacha what this is. We find what the Baal Chayv has a right. He has a right to come to you and take it. Do you have a right to run away? Run for your life. So la halacha, I want to say as far that you could do that. Because there's a rule, chayecha koidmin. There's a rule in halacha called chayecha koidmin. Your life comes first. And we find halacha, clearly it's your property, we find halacha. If I have a bottle, a container of water, that's the sugya above metziah. And there's not enough water for me and you, so Ben Petura thought that you can't drink it. You should share it. Rabbi Kiva says, what do you mean? Chayecha koidmin. So I want to say that if you have money in your domain and you need it for your own life, and you can somehow run away and keep on living, you'd be allowed to do that. The Baal Chayv has a right to take it from you. He can use every legal channel to get it from you. But you are not, you could run for your life. Chayecha koidmin. Now, that halacha would only apply by Bein Adam L'Chaveiroi. Between you and your friend is a din from Chayecha koidmin. Bein Adam L'Makom, if I have a chayv to the Rabbanu Shalom, Chayecha koidmin, this is what I owe. It's really not between me and somebody else. This is obligate. Now, I'm not mechuyif to die. No, not pikuach nefesh is doicha kol atere kula. But chayecha koidmin is a din in your lifestyle also. Chayecha koidmin is not just a din in, it's a din in your lifestyle. You're not mechuyif to live like a pauper. Chayecha koidmin. But I want to say, beklapi hegdish, when you owe money to hegdish, it's not you, somebody else has a schus to take from you. It's an inherent obligation that you have that's on you. Between you and Hashem. When the gizbar comes in to collect it, he's not collecting from you something which is somebody else's. He's settling an obligation that you have with yourself. He's settling. He's not coming in here and saying, okay, I'm here from the sheriff's department. You owe Nechemya money. I'm here to collect Nechemya's money. He's not even a shliach of Nechemya. He's technically enforcing the law, the obligation that you have with yourself. And therefore, there's no din of not going into the house. Not going into the house is when you're coming in as a representative of the Baal Chayv, right? And you're coming to take from him something, and he wants to hold on to his thing. So there's a process, how you can take it. Over here, there's no such process. So I want to tell you like this. By Baal Chayv, where there's a din of Chayecha Koidmin, there is a svara that the Baal Chayv can't take away mamish something he needs to live. And that's why over there we don't need a pasuk of mochu. But over here, without the pasuk of mochu, we wouldn't know that Hektish has to leave you with a dime. Because the logic of normally leaving you is only when it's you versus somebody else and there's a chayecha koidmin. So then we have the logical or the regular pasuk of a chayechichimach, whatever we have. But here we don't have it. That's why when Rashi starts the sugya, Rashi says right away, Hagizbor Nichnas. Because if not for that, we wouldn't need this Mishnah here in Erechin. The whole chiddush of our Mishnah is, even though over here, this is an obligation that's on you, not to somebody else. It's inherent in you. And that's why the Gizbor could go in. Still in all, we leave you these things. And for that, says the Gemara, my timer. Says the Gemara, here we don't have the logic that we normally have. Says the Gemara, Mochu. Says the Gemara, we have a new pasuk, Hachayeyu. But if not for that pasuk, there would be no outside logic. So really, everything flows. And that would also explain this whole inyan of tefillin. It's also included in that idea. That really, we take the tefillin from you too. So you could say, perhaps, that by a regular Baal Chayv, maybe there would be a din to leave him the tefillin. Maybe, als arvus. By Hektish, there's no concept of arvus. Because the Reb Rosen, in his Sefer Nezer HaKadosh, He's bothered by this whole idea that you take somebody's tefillin. So he says an unbelievable chiddush. He says that a Baal Choyv doesn't take your tefillin. You have a right to use the tefillin until you get another alternative. That's what he says. Tremendous chiddush. That's, he himself says, you know, it's not put down in the poiskim. But he feels als arvus. Als arvus, you got to leave it there. That's his svara. So I would say that the reason why by hektish that clearly would not be applicable is because there's no arvus here. Arvus is ben adam lachaveiroi. Then there's a concept of arvus, what he has to leave you, what he doesn't have to. Maybe he has to leave you things that you need for your mitzvahs. But ben adam lamokim. Ben adam lamokim, there's clearly not that way. And that's why the only reason to leave him is tefillin here in the Mishnah is because it's his malbush. Because mahu. But if not for that, there's no arvus element. So it could be by a regular Baal Choyv, we would paskin like the Nemukah Yosef's first Shita, which is we'll leave you your matzah, and we'll leave you your mitzvahs because of arvus, because I'm responsible, you should do mitzvahs. Right? But when it comes to Hegdish, the only reason, Mishnah only lists tefillin, and that's because the only reason why we leave anything is because of this pasuk of a machu. Because there is no Bein Adam L'Chaveri Halach. Okay, we'll stop here.